Good morning and welcome to worship. We concur with the psalmist who said, "This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." We welcome you to worship at Grace Zone Baptist Church, specifically on this Heritage Sunday. This congregation was formed as a mission on Pentecost of 1983 and fully constituted as a church on September the 9th, 1984. And today we celebrate that wonderful heritage as we recommit ourselves and all of our energies to the future of growing God's kingdom in the Greystone community. In fact, as we gather for worship and begin, I have a sneaking suspicion that there might be one or two or three who go all the way back to the beginning. You were here when Greystone started as a mission, or you were here when it was constituted as a church, and you think of yourself as one of the founding or charter members. Would you stand or raise your hand and let us recognize you if you go back to the origins of Greystone Church? What a wonderful group. Let's give them a round of applause. Today in worship, we have wonderful people that will be sharing our scriptures, will be singing songs of praise, and concluding with the time of communion as we come to receive the elements of the Lord's table. Let me mention to you in advance that today, if you are one who happens to need a non-gluten element for communion, those are available on the usher's table in the rear of the sanctuary. Be welcome to do one of two things. During the hymns as we stand to sing, to ease there, take a cup and hold it with you at your seat until the time to partake during the communion service. Or during the passing of the peace or the serving of communion, at that time, get a cup so that you can have your communion element with you at the time the deacons serve communion to us there in the pew. One other bit of advance notice, you see a table stationed here to my left and your right. As is customary on Heritage Sunday, during the hymn of commitment, following the celebration of communion and the passing of the peace, we would invite all those who've joined Greystone during the past year, if you would, to come forward and sign the membership book and take a copy of the church covenant with you. That would be a wonderful act of celebration as we celebrate your first year with us here at Greystone. Now, with ears and hearts and eyes wide open, let us worship our God in spirit and in truth.
We come to hear again the story of God's faithfulness and celebrate God's provision to past generations.
Lord, through all the generations, you have been our home. Before the mountains were born, before you gave birth to the earth and the world, from beginning to end, you are God.
But as we look to the past, we also look forward to the future, confident of God's constant presence with us.
Your God is indeed God. He is the faithful God who keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations and lavishes his unfailing love on those who love him and obey his commands.
This morning, we lift a unified voice of praise to give thanks to God for the journey of this community of faith. A journey that continues in joyful hope, knowing the God who leads us on.
For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
was with our ancestors is with us as well. We can go forward in hope. Whatever else fails, God remains faithful. Praise be to God. Sunday, and this is where we celebrate how Greystone got here. If you look in your bulletin, you'll see a list of all of the people who helped Greystone in its very, very beginning when Greystone was a baby. They helped raise Greystone, just like your mommy and daddy help you grow up. They helped our church grow up. And there's a lot more people that aren't on that list that have been part of Greystone over the last 34 years. And one of the things that we really like to do on Heritage Sunday is celebrate our past, but we also like to look at our future. So I have with me this morning the Dew family. They are one of the newest families here at Greystone. They've joined in the last year. And I'm going to ask them a few questions and let them tell you a little bit about who they are. So they're going to tell you their name, and they're going to tell you where they grew up.
Hi, I'm Kathy Dew. I'm from Raleigh. I grew up here.
And I'm Ken Dew. I grew up on a tobacco farm in eastern North Carolina down below Fayetteville.
I'm Diana Dew, and I grew up here in Raleigh.
Okay, and I also kind of want to know what they do or did for their job, and maybe we can find out where Diana goes to school, okay?
I used to work in real estate and in the rental parts.
And I'm a retired car dealer.
And I'm in homeschool.
Yeah, that means she gets to stay at home and mom and dad gets a teacher. It's all kinds of fun, I love it. So, I also want to know is what is something exciting about Greystone that you are looking forward to, or something exciting at Greystone that you have already experienced?
I just think it's such a friendly church. And that's the number one thing about any church, is just such a friendly church.
I just felt led to come and have been just overwhelmed with the friendship that everybody has given us.
Most exciting thing that's happened to me here was my baptism back in July.
We are really excited that you all are with us and that you have made Greystone your home, and look forward to all of the ways that you will find to be a part of Greystone and be leaders here at church. Can you all pray with me? Loving and gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for all of the people who made Greystone who she is today, from the people who helped start this church and were brave and stepped out so many years ago to say that they wanted to start a new church, not knowing what that would be or even where it would be exactly. For all of the people who started going to a new church and gave Greystone a chance and who stayed and became leaders in our church, for those who have taught Sunday school and sung in worship and taught our children missions and taken our youth on youth trips, for everyone who has helped make Greystone who she is, we give thanks. We also give thanks to those who are still joining us, and we look forward to Greystone's future to see where our church takes us and where God leads us as a church. In your name we pray. Amen.
Today's scripture reading is from Psalms 125. I'll be reading from the Good News Bible. Those who trust in the Lord are like the Mount Zion, which can never be shaken. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. now and forever. The wicked will not always rule over the land of the righteous. If they did, the righteous themselves might do evil. Lord, do good to those who are good, to those who obey your commands. But when you punish the wicked, punish also those who abandon your ways. Peace be with Israel. This, the word of the Lord.
Would you join me in prayer? Father, our trustworthy God, we gather to worship you with songs of praise and celebration. For across the years, you have been our strength and hope. God of the past, we are grateful for your faithfulness and guidance. God of the present, we rejoice in your stability and consistent strength within us. God of the future, we anticipate the light of your presence will be made known to us as we seek to serve you in this place for years to come. Father, thank you for all you have done and will do to help us realize your will through us both now and in the future. In Christ's name, amen.
Gracious God, we come today celebrating your blessings and guidance the past 34 years for Greystone Baptist Church. We celebrate our past, rejoice in our present. We also look forward with eager eyes to our future as we gather in this place to share what we are and what we have. Help us continue this sharing of our time, talents, and treasures. May the gifts we give be gifts of love. May they increase the power of love in our community and in the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Our scripture is James 2:14 through 18. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And it was the best of times, and it was the worst of times. Those are some of the most memorable and probing words in all of literature, but Dickens had no idea he could have written them about any local Baptist church. So after 40 years of ministry, simultaneously at any given time, it's the best of times and the worst of times. There's trials and troubles and tribulations. There's blessings and there's joys, and there's unforeseen surprises of grace. But one thing is for sure, in any congregation, particularly a congregation like Greystone, in the most perilous times to the pinnacle moments, God is there walking by our side. Today we give thanks for 34 years of ministry as a constituted church, 35 years ago when this church began as a vision and a mission. And through the years, of course, you've experienced the best of times and the worst of times, and all of us will in the future. And the two texts that we're talking about briefly this morning help us to live in the tension between those polarities. Boy, this week on the Gulf Coast where I live, it's been the best of times and the worst of times. The worst of times, we had a hurricane coming our way. It did almost reach Category 1 status, which is very minor, except it sat there for a day and a half. And we got 15 inches of rain over a 36-hour period, and there was a lot of flooding. And it was very sad that the only fatality documented from the storm happened not in Biloxi or Jackson, but in Pensacola, when a huge live oak tree fell on a mobile home 4 blocks from the church where I used to serve, taking the life of a small child. It was the worst of times. On Wednesday, I stood before a large congregation for one of the most visible homeless people in all of Pensacola who came into the life of our church 6 years ago. And the church has a caring spirit like Greystone. And they sort of brought the young man in, got him medical help, found out he was diagnosed paranoid schizophrenic, off his medication. And the most extraordinary extreme makeover I've ever seen in the life of someone who went from being ministered to being a primary minister, a greeter in the church, a worker at the Smeared Hands Mission Center. It was phenomenal. I thought, he has no family, nobody would be there. The chapel was overflowing. The worst of times became the best of times. And then, as always, counting our blessings. I got the phone call from my niece, said, "Uncle Barry, I'm expecting." I like fell out on the floor. "I'm going to be a great uncle again." And we'll find out later this week whether it's a boy or a girl. Almost congruent to Greystone's anniversary, on Friday morning, Amanda and I woke up, and it was our 33rd wedding anniversary, September 7th. 33rd. She turned to me, gave me a big hug and kiss, and she said, "It's been a wonderful 33 years, but the best is yet to come." I love being married to a woman like that. Great anniversary celebration. But I got to tell you this morning, if God in the flesh were standing here, he would give Greystone a great big hug and say, "Happy 34th anniversary." But don't forget, the best is yet to come. Let me ask a couple of questions, and then just a couple of points. For all of our seminary professors there, I remember being in Harold Bryson's preaching class at New Orleans Seminary, and one of the students who was there just really wanted to pick on the professors during that era of the 1980s said, Dr. Bryson, how many points should a good sermon have? And Dr. Bryson said, without batting an eye, "At least one." So I want to give you two this morning, but two questions. One, 34, 35 years from now, will the Greystone community need a vibrant and healthy church? Absolutely. Without question, it's certain. Second question, 34 to 35 years from now, will Greystone Church be that vibrant and healthy church? It should be, it could be, and it can be, but as a Free Will Baptist, I got to tell you, that's not predetermined, and it will not happen by default. That's dependent on our commitment. It's contingent on the gifts and energies and spiritual talents that each and every one of us bring to the life of this congregation. What I can tell you after walking alongside you for the last 4 to 5 months is all the raw potential is here for God to continue to do that great new thing. It's, are we willing to be those treasures in earthen vessels through which God works to bring about newness? There are two texts this morning, one from Psalm 25. Psalm 25 that begins, "The people of God shall not be moved." I love that phrase, but I hate that phrase. When I was growing up in that Baptist congregation, it had three different colors of a Sam's Baxter songbook, and finally upgraded to a Church of God hymnal. Baptist Church, Church of God hymnal, you got it right. One of their favorite songs was, "I Shall Not Be Moved." And it was a catchy tune. I shall not be moved. Some of us sang it growing up. My pastor told me under his breath at one point, "I wish they would just cut it out of the hymnal." I said, "Why?" "I like that song." He said, "Because some people think it applies to where you sit. I shall not be moved." Other people think it means you shall not do anything new. Well, then you get over to the book of James. Book of James is so interesting. We're in there all during September during the lectionary. Alan got us started in the right direction last week talking about being doers of the word and not hearers only. But you know the background. The book of James is one of the books that almost isn't included in the Bible. If you've read up on the Council of Carthage and the Council of Jamnia, there's a book in the Old Testament that was almost left out of the Old Testament canon. Book in the New Testament almost left out of the New Testament canon. The Old Testament was the book of Esther. So it's the only book in the Bible that doesn't specifically mention the name of God. But like you learn when you read it, it has the imprint of God stamped all over it because God places specific people in places like this for a time such as this. Then the book of James. Many of the early church fathers saw it as contradictory to the book of Romans, which preached salvation by faith, justification by faith, to use the exact theological terminology. But then along comes James and says, "Be doers of the word, not hearers only." And then in the passage that was read this morning, "You show me your faith by your works." There are far too many people want to wear the label but not live the lifestyle. Last Sunday, I was privileged to sit under a great sermon by a substitute preacher. And when I went in to sit down in the church I was visiting, I didn't have any idea who was preaching. He got introduced to the book of James, and his introduction was, "Did any of you know a vegan?" A few people sheepishly raised their hands. He said, "What would you think if somebody came to you and said, 'I'm a vegan,' but then they ate steak every night? Would you really believe that they're a vegan?" And then he paused and said, "What if somebody told you they were a Christian, but there was nothing about their life or their motives or their lifestyle that looked like Jesus? Would you believe that they're a Christian?" Well, in our brief moments together, let me give you 2 points. First, let us embrace the past, or treasure the past. Let's treasure the past with healthy appreciation. Let's embrace the future with holy anticipation. That's it. That's our challenge on Heritage Sunday. We're here to celebrate and treasure the past with healthy appreciation. We're also here to embrace the future with holy anticipation. Sometimes we can become far too preoccupied with the past, so much so that it keeps us from embracing God's future for us. To treasure the past means to look back with gratitude for all of God's gracious acts among us. It means to look back with thanksgiving for the saints and the charter and founding members who established a place like this for us. But to look back, but not to look back for too long. 2 quick stories. I've seen so many things happen in a church parking lot, many of which cannot be told in a pulpit. But one of the strangest things that happened years ago happened during the work day. We had a wonderful maintenance guy at the church. He was a retired chemist. He was a member of the church. Salt of the Earth fellow. If they were making a movie about Ralph Green, they would hire Walter Matthau. Not because Ralph was a grumpy old man, but because he looked a lot shape and size, like Walter Matthau, bless his soul. And Ralph was as faithful as clockwork. I don't ever remember missing church. I don't remember missing work. And he said he worked in the Mead Company for over 40 years, and he never missed work for a sick day. 40 plus years, absolutely fascinating. So you can imagine my surprise after I got my morning coffee at Green's Community Store, went over to the office, did my morning reading, came outside to get something out of the car, and I heard Ralph's truck, that 1986 Dodge truck with a rattling muffler that everybody knew, coming down the road. And I looked up, not surprised to see Ralph coming to work, except as he approached the stop sign at the one intersection in our community, his car was turned around, his truck turned around the wrong way. It was copper and tan, and he was driving backward. And when he got to the intersection, I thought, surely he'll turn around. And he pulled out in the intersection when he saw no cars were coming, backward. And then he drove into the church parking lot in reverse, looking over his shoulder to make sure he didn't hit anything. And I'm standing there like, what gives here? And Ralph gets out, and he has a sheepish kind of, I said, Ralph, what is going on? He said, well, I told you, I just don't miss. I said, yep, why are you coming in here backward? He said, well, the transmission has gone out in my truck, and drive doesn't work anymore, and the only gear that works is reverse. So I thought, I'll drive to church in reverse. He drove all the way the 3 miles from his house in reverse to the church, looking over his shoulder and looking at the rearview mirror. You know, there are a lot of other people who drive to church spiritually in reverse. They are so much treasuring the past, they can't envision a future that's any different. And churches have tried for years to do what Ralph does, and it just doesn't work. Rearview mirrors were made to glance in, not to be preoccupied with. Today, we glance in the rearview mirror to give thanks for our treasured past as we prepare to embrace the future. The one other story is I dared, as a young minister, to do something no other minister, I went where no one has gone before. The 19-year-old associate pastor at the West Anniston Baptist Church secretary said, I wish you'd clean out the closet behind the baptistry. I thought that was innocuous enough. It was an elementary assignment. I was a probie. The pastor had been there 27 years. I went and opened the door to the closet. It was like a house of horrors in there. I found those lost flannel graphs from the 1940s. The glass communion cups before we moved to get the little disposable ones. There were these huge burgundy drapes that looked like came off a school stage that used to hang from a cable when the church did the annual Christmas play. There was some lumber that I assume probably came from the first church building. Somebody told me they thought it actually came over on the ark. And there was one arrangement of wax flowers that I'm sure were once beautiful, not as beautiful as these. And I looked at those flowers and thought, oh my gosh, I remember my great-grandmother used to have wax flowers, except these looked like they had been placed in the microwave. They were drooping and dripping in the heat of the place. It's just they were ugly. And I thought, who put, and they said they were put in memory of a charter church member years ago by the family. Nobody in the family has been for more than 20 years. I think you should throw them away. So I marched them to the dumpster. Wrong thing to do. That was on Monday. By Tuesday afternoon, I got 4 phone calls from members of the family that lived in 3 other states that said, who do you think you are throwing our mama's flowers away? And I looked it up. They were given in 1959. Do you get the picture? Sometimes we become the poster children for let's go back to Egypt because we don't want to do anything new. We honor God by treasuring the past with healthy appreciation, but then we honor God by embracing the future with holy anticipation. To have holy anticipation means to me 2 or 3 things. First of all, we prepare for God to do a new thing. We want to be present and accounted for. We want to be generous and faithful in giving. We want to be patient and long-suffering, reminded that God never works by our stopwatch. Not only do we want to prepare for God to do a new thing, we want to expect God to do a new thing. Sometimes we get in the doldrums and just expect it's just going to get worse and worse. The world's going to go to hell in a handbasket, and God's not going to do anything about it. We honor God by expecting God to do that new thing among us. And actually, week in and week out, God is trying to launch a new thing, and we become the resistance. Prepare for God to do a new thing. Expect God to do a new thing. When my niece called me, she used that familiar word. She said, Uncle Barry, I'm expecting. That's what we call it when someone's going to have a baby. When they're going to give birth to something new. But those who've had that experience in this room could readily testify, it is not easy to birth something new. It requires moments of anxiety and travail and labor. And when God births a new thing in the congregation, there are moments of high anxiety and travail and labor. But oh, when you hear that first slap and that cry of joy on entry to the world, you're so grateful that the cycle of life goes on. To prepare for God to do a new thing, to expect God to do a new thing, to participate in God doing a new thing, for God does not act without human instruments. The old song says God could have called 10,000 angels to rescue Jesus from the cross. God could do anything, but God chooses human instruments to be His ambassadors for love and grace. God chooses human instruments to grow the kingdom. And God has given everyone in this room a set of specific resources, unique talents, and distinct spiritual gifts to contribute to what He is birthing in this community, in this congregation. And if we withhold it, woe be unto us. But if we bring it with joy and gladness and great expectation, woe what God will birth among us. And having walked alongside you for a few, I don't know of a church better poised and prepared when it comes together in the unity of spirit to be the people of God in this day and age and time. This morning, let me encourage you as we prepare to embrace the future, to be the church that a new pastor will look forward to coming to. And let me quickly add, as excited as I am about the new pastor who will be with us in a few months, whoever he or she may turn out to be, I want you to hear it loud and clear that the future of Greystone Church isn't so much as contingent on who the new pastor will be as to who you will be and who you are. That there is no pastor I know who is poor enough to impede the energizing, mobilized force of God's people. And there is no pastor good or excellent enough to mobilize and unify a group of people who are not, in the first place, listening to and aligning themselves with the will of God. I am grateful for our past, but I am even more excited about the future. For a future is not a predetermined event that happens, but a new chapter waiting to be written on the page of possibility. This morning, let me encourage you to let the peace of God abide in you, to let the love of God flow through you, to let the grace of God flow from you into the lives of others, and let the Spirit of God use you to do that new thing and birth that new ministry that God is bringing about by the initiation of His Spirit. And as you treasure the past and embrace the future, whether it's the best of times or the worst of times, the best is yet to come. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In these quiet moments, may we prepare ourselves, heart, mind, and soul, to receive the elements of communion as we prepare to celebrate faith and friendship. The scripture says that when Jesus gathered with His disciples in the upper room, He took the bread, and when He broke it, He said unto them, "The bread represents My body, which is broken for you." May the deacons come to prepare the table as we prepare to receive the bread. As we partake of the bread that we hold, we do so with gratitude for the broken body of Christ given for us on a cross, and yet reminded that we are now the people of God and the body of Christ in this world. So take, eat, do this in remembrance of me. After they took the bread, Jesus took the cup, and having blessed it, said, "This is the new covenant written in my blood." As we prepare to receive the cup, would the deacons come to prepare the table? The cup that we hold represents the greatest sacrifice of all. And in addition to representing the shed blood of Christ on the cross, it now comes to us to represent the new life, the fruit of the vine. Take this, and as you do, do this in remembrance of Jesus, who gave his all for us. And now, as the glad and grateful people of God, may we stand together. As recipients of the grace of God, forgiven of our sins and joyful to live out our faith lives in community, may the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
May we celebrate the peace of Christ. Peace. And now as we gather ourselves preparing to sing, the scripture says, after the disciples shared the Last Supper with Jesus, they sang a hymn and went out. The first of our songs is our hymn of commitment. Let me invite you as we prepare to sing to two things. One, if there's a decision you would like to share regarding your faith, church membership, or baptism, we stand ready to welcome you, to affirm you, and celebrate with you. We invite you to come. Second, let me also add that if you need to exit early to get to the fellowship hall, to be prepared for lunch because of family, mobility issues, or others, be prepared to do so respectfully as we sing. We likewise invite our new members for this year to come forward during our song to sign the membership register and also to take a copy of our church covenant. As we celebrate faith and Mike leads us, let us sing together.
As always, we thank you for worshiping with us this morning. Again, if it would be helpful to you to have a little bit of a head start getting down to the fellowship hall for our luncheon, please feel free to start making your way. I know some already have. For those that are waiting a few more minutes, we do hope you will join us for lunch. We will be gathering, as is our tradition, in the fellowship hall for our lunch today. And I know many brought sides and desserts. Whether you brought something or not, whether you signed up or not, please do feel welcome to come down and join us for lunch. As you'll notice in your order of worship, there are an abundance of things going on in the life of our church. I do hope you'll notice those, both our Wednesday night studies and meal reservations, as well as the music and other youth programs that are kicking off with even some meetings tonight. So do pay attention to that. See one of the ministers if you have any questions. But enjoy lunch and enjoy celebrating this 34 years that this congregation has continued to serve alongside God together.
Now let us from this table rise. The words are printed there in your guide. Let's sing it out as we go. Now let us from this table rise.
With gratitude for all that has been and all that will be, let us go from this place giving thanks for food, faith, family, and friends. And as we go, may we live as though the best is yet to come. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen.
Amen.